Good morning, I'm Anna Palmer.
And I'm Jake Sherman.
And welcome to the Daily Punch, brought to you by Punchbowl News. It's Wednesday, March 8th, 2023. Happy International Women's Day. Let's get it in the mix. Here are your Washington headlines of the day. Number one, Senator Bernie Sanders' vision for leading the HELP Committee. Number two, McCarthy and McConnell's split once again, this time on January 6th, and Tucker Carlson. And number three, the Virginia delegation's argument for where the next FBI headquarters should go. All right, Jake, let's get into it. We are leading Punchbowl News AM this morning with an interview with Senator Bernie Sanders following his victory of getting Starbucks CEO Howard Schultz to agree to testify before the Senate's Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee. But this is really the starting point, not the end point, for Bernie Sanders and his use of the gavel and subpoena power to potentially go after a slew of other corporate executives.
Yeah, so he says that, you know, he got Howard Schultz to testify by threatening a subpoena. The HELP Committee, as we reported like a week or so ago, has only subpoenaed twice for documents in like the last 25 years. So this is not a committee that uses its oversight power or its traditional oversight power, getting people to testify, information and things like that. Doesn't use it so often. But Bernie had the votes to subpoena Howard Schultz, and the Starbucks CEO had to blink. But he is also saying now, and this should be of no surprise to anybody who's been watching Bernie, he says that he's going to use the panel to go after executives at places like Amazon, Walmart, Moderna, and other mega corporations that have been in his crosshairs for a while. Now that's, again, that's not, shouldn't be terribly surprising to anybody who's watched Bernie, but still, a interesting use of power, I would say, to say the least, Anna. Interesting use of power to advance his policy goals. By the way, each committee and the work of each committee is reflective of the chair, and Bernie is a progressive, and he probably the most progressive person in the Senate, if not definitely the most progressive person in the Senate, and he's going to and his work is going to reflect that.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the interesting thing here is how does corporate America respond? You saw Starbucks try to kind of give the stiff arm, say, no, you know what, we Howard isn't available. We'll give you a different executive instead. That wasn't enough. And then there was the issue here that we reported on this, you know, in the last couple of weeks, just how other Democrats and folks on his panel were willing to give Sanders the room on this subpoena, whether they were kind of leading the charge or not, saying that they would support him on this effort. And, I think this kind of corporate shame game is something that can be very effective, depending on how well it's executed. The HELP Committee is also going to be hearing from the CEO of Moderna on March 22nd. Sanders has called Moderna the poster child for a pharmaceutical company, but surely not the only company. The other question I think is how long is this kind of willingness by Democrats to allow Sanders to run his own show, particularly into the 2024 cycle? You know, does Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer try to tamp him down at all? So far, it doesn't seem like that's happening.
No, and I mean, the other thing that the company Starbucks did is said that he's not the best person to answer these questions, which, by the way, might be true, but still, there's a thirst, I think, and we've seen this a million times. There's a thirst on behalf of members of Congress to have the CEO come answer questions, and I would say that most committee chairs are not going to be happy with the, you know, yeah, we'll take the lower ranking person just because you think he's better. So I would imagine that, you know, if companies try to do that, that Sanders is not going to be terribly interested in that strategy.
All right, just a couple other things to note, Jake. It is a very busy day in the Senate. Today, the Senate is also going to be voting on the GOP-authored disapproval resolution to block changes to the D.C. criminal code. Also, something that should be on your radar. The Senate Foreign Relations Committee is also having a big day. That panel will again vote on Eric Garcetti's nomination to serve as U.S. ambassador to India. Senators are also expected to approve a bipartisan bill to repeal the Iraq war authorizations as the anniversary of the 2003 invasion approaches. Let's move on to the number two story of the morning. You, alongside John Bresnahan and Andrew Desiderio, have a look at the split between Kevin McCarthy and Mitch McConnell over Tucker Carlson in January 6th. This isn't the first time the two top Republicans have come at different issues, you know, particularly when it is related to the former president, but it's certainly kicking up a lot of dust.
Yeah, I'd say so. A few thoughts here. Number one, McCarthy gave these videos, this footage to Tucker Carlson. He came under withering criticism for doing so, because I think most people thought Tucker Carlson would do something like this, which is say that, you know, present the January 6th insurrection, which he did not live through, but I did, as a peaceful gathering. It was not a peaceful gathering. That's not based on anything besides living through it. Now, that was a huge risk that McCarthy took, and it was clearly it was stupid. Clearly it was something that this was a predictable outcome. Now, McConnell has sharply criticized Fox News and said it's irresponsible to present January 6th in this manner. McCarthy kind of shot back and said, you know, why isn't McConnell criticizing CNN, which aired Alexandra Pelosi's documentary, because they did something he didn't. They allegedly, McCarthy says, that Alexandra Pelosi, broadcast where the leadership was taken. That was his criticism. That was McCarthy's criticism. These are two different men with two different political orientations, Anna. That's what it gets down to. I mean, McCarthy lives in a soundbite world. McConnell does not. McConnell is, you know, McConnell could be McCarthy's father. He's, I think, 30, you know, something years older than McCarthy is. And the differences don't end there. Having watched you and I and Brez and Heather have watched, and Andrew, I guess, for that matter, have watched McCarthy and McConnell for many years, never had a particularly warm relationship. They're fine. But they are going to clash on things like this, because I'll tell you what, if McConnell had that footage, the January 6th footage, in the same way that McCarthy did, there is 0.000% chance that he would ever just flip it over to a media outlet.
Yeah, it's really stunning just how different, you know, the two leaders of, you know, of the Republican Party in Congress are, not only in terms of substance, but also in terms of style. They are not super close. I do think, you know, McConnell kept his criticism really on Fox News, didn't take the opportunity to whack McCarthy when he could have. But just the fact that he decided to go out to the mics yesterday and unprompted really kind of take on Fox News and the overall just kind of the decision to release all of this footage, and you know how he, alongside, you know, kind of really McConnell aligning himself with Capitol Police in terms of just kind of how they absolutely disagree with the presentation. Going to be interesting to see, you know, what's the next, you know, moment where you have another divergence between McConnell and McCarthy, and also how they end up working together on other things. And I have to imagine that both of those things can be true.
Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
All right, let's move on to the number three story of the morning. This is one of my favorite stories. The push for the FBI headquarters and the fight between Virginia and Maryland, which is coming down to the wire now. We have a new item this morning about the Virginia case between for the new FBI headquarters. Today, Maryland is making its case to the General Services Administration, followed by Virginia's presentation on Thursday. Really interesting look on the jockeying here, Jake, that Max Cohen has.
Yes, absolutely. Now, we interviewed Wes Moore, the governor of Maryland, on the sidelines of the Democratic retreat last week in Baltimore. Today we spoke to, or yesterday, Max Cohen spoke to Tim Kaine and Mark Warner. The interesting thing here is that the Maryland folks have made diversity a very big part of their pitch, which is that the Greenbelt, Maryland, which is one of the leading spots, and Prince George's County more broadly, I think it's a better way to say it, is diverse. And this is a once-in-a-generation opportunity for the federal government to invest in that area of the state. Now, Maryland people have been very annoyed that proximity to Quantico, which is in Virginia, is one of the criteria that it's impossible for Maryland to have a location that's closer to Quantico than Virginia, which is in Virginia. But this is they're pushing back on that also. The Virginia folks are saying on those two issues, saying that the area that they are talking about in Virginia is extremely diverse, and they're right about that, and that proximity to Quantico is important, but you should have the FBI headquarters close to other FBI locations. So this is going to be there. So the Marylanders are presenting today, Virginia following close behind, and this is a big issue. All the delegation, for the most part, is behind each state's push, and a battle royale in the DMV, Anna.
Absolutely. And just of note, the Maryland congressional delegation is holding a press conference after their presentation to GSA today. For more on the Maryland argument, you can check out our interview with Maryland Governor Wes Moore from last week at our website. With that, thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it. The best way to find out about us is through our community of Daily Punch listeners. Please share about the Daily Punch to your friends, family, and on social media. You can also sign up for our free morning newsletter at punchbowl.news. Have a great day and stay safe.